Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Seven after the hour on the DJV program. Actually, this is not the DJV program, but it will sound like it a bit this week because Michael Harrison, who's normally here from Talkers Magazine to go through the official story list and the people list and then our ancillary conversations, is wrapped up in his convention. The Talkers Convention is actually here where I am at Hofstra University on Long Island. So Michael is putting the pieces together to get that started. As a result, I invited John Harper from WMEL on the Space Coast to join us with his thoughts about some of the things on the charts for this week. Victoria Keelan is here from the DJV program, as is Jennifer Horn. So this is a two-hour program, and we've been through a lot of the stories, so I think we'll go to the people list, ladies and gentlemen, and start at number 10 with Benjamin Netanyahu and the whole situation in Israel as to what the political future. Can you imagine, this is, I throw this open to everybody, can you imagine what our country would be like if we ran it like Israel runs its political reality?
It's not that it's poorly managed, it's just that it's got so many political parties. That's the difference,
right?
Is that we have primarily two parties, and they have
multiple
parties.
So what would it be
parties.
Like, though, Jennifer, if we had the, you know, the Libertarian Party that really was functional? Maybe we've got the Mafufsky Party. Who knows? Let's have a dozen parties.
And you can
parties.
Create them on a whim. That's the other thing, is that new parties are created in Israel all the time. So it's very confusing. A lot of elections, they have to create consensus.
But doesn't it enhance free thinking? In America, we don't have free thinking anymore. It's either you're right or you're left or
free
you're
thinking
wrong.
Or coups.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Okay. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. Oh, go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, I think, Doug, if we had that many parties here in America, it would be like the World Wrestling Federation in a cage match.
Well, they've also had four elections in the last 2 years. I mean, we can't even, we're still talking about the one that we had last year. So,
right. And we're planning for the one we'll have next year to see who's going to win. Okay, the Republicans are going to win because the Democrats are screwing everything up. Yada, yada, yada. It's the same old stuff over and over. It becomes really tedious, I think, kind of, unless you're into the sport. And I'm not, as you can tell from my attitude.
But be grateful, because there are alternatives to having elections, and there are countries that probably none of us would like to live in.
China. So. Hello. Yep. Russia, Iran, all of our pals that really stand up against freedom. Remember when George Bush called them the axis of evil? The axis of evil right now is Russia, China, and Iran. And maybe a few others thrown in for good measure, but they're really the baddies. And their governments are all, although Iran's kind of, they tell you they were sort of representative, but who you vote for doesn't have anything to say because they all somehow or other have sworn allegiance to the Ayatollah, who's a lunatic. So, you know, what do you do under that circumstance? Okay. Some people think Netanyahu is a lunatic as well. I don't. I think he's pretty practical and very pragmatic, frankly. And also power crazed, but
leaving office, and he says that he's committed to a peaceful transition of power. But
he's going
to
be a member of the Knesset. He'll be in that building.
Well,
all the
time. And it's going to be interesting to see, because many people that I've talked to that like study, and I'm always so curious. I think I told you guys, I asked someone to explain the Israeli election system to me. We asked our friend Uri Geller to do it. And my friend can actually really explain it, and it makes sense. It just takes a little while. But he was saying that there's a possibility that Netanyahu comes back, because this party that formed consensus, I guess, is kind of glued together on with bubblegum, essentially. So there's a possibility he comes back. There's also going to be an interesting reaction from our news media and then the progressive left in this country, because for a long time they've said, well, it's Netanyahu that's doing all of these things, standing up for Israel. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that the Israelis are going to stand up against Palestine on behalf of Israel, even when they have parties that might indicate that they're more progressive thinkers, if that's what you want to call it. So it'll be interesting to see how the world reacts too, now that Netanyahu isn't the stealing the oxygen from the room.
Right. Okay, speaking of stealing oxygen. Number nine is Congresswoman Ilhan. Is that how you pronounce? How do you pronounce her name?
Ilhan
Omar. That bunch in the squad so annoy me. I don't even want to talk about what's her deal though this week. Why are
she just equated America with the Taliban and Hamas? You know, right. Just okay. To basically status quo. And so 12 Democrats got together and said, we want to write you this formal letter to let you know that what you're saying is not right. It is not true. It is not helpful. And you need to back off.
Well, yeah, Pelosi was pissed, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, she keeps stepping in it. This Omar is
she's
like
the same as
for the
Green on the other side. Going. The two of them, you talk about a wrestling match. Put the two of them into a cage. And
I would
let's
say,
see who...
yes, that they capture the headlines. But as far as being anti-American, Ilhan Omar, if we're talking about cage matches, wins that all day long because she constantly comes out against the country and she's representing us. So yeah. It's
well, she's not representing
you know,
me.
Well, but the people who voted for her, that's yeah. going to be
I'm
up
not
to them.
She gets,
I would love
I'm not
to know
saying
who
she gets
ran
removed
against.
From office, but you know, I'm not saying she gets removed from office, but it is questionable what those people think when they vote for her every, you know, the last couple of times because
recall.
She's clearly anti-Semitic and she's unpatriotic.
All right. And by the way,
is it her
just
first
on
term
the
in office?
First term.
Second.
Yeah.
Second.
Is it
I think.
Her second?
Second term.
Yeah, she ran. She was around last year.
All right, so I'm putting my money on Green, though, because she's much heftier than Omar is as far as who's going to win in the cage. All right, listen to Victoria. She's all set to keep moving. Number eight, Pukin Putin, Bad Vlad, on the list of people from Talkers Magazine this week. So he and Joe Biden get together over the weekend. And you wonder how forceful Biden will be, how forceful, how capable is he at putting Putin in his place? And what's the
answer
to
that? I don't
think
he has an issue with putting Putin in his place. I don't think that's
so how much
attention has been the criticism on him in the past either.
The criticism has been that just a couple weeks ago, he reduced sanctions on Russia and lined the pocket of Vladimir Putin. So I hope that he toughens up. I hope that he changes his stance over the last couple of weeks because he's not doing our allies in the region any favors. He's certainly not helping Ukraine with that move. And that's pretty typical of what the Obama administration did. They said tough things about Russia, yet they sent, instead of sending weapons and helping Ukraine with military force, instead they sent them like a bunch of blankets and some meals that could be prepared with water, you know, the MREs, all that stuff. That's not helpful. We need to stand strong with our allies, and hopefully he will have that message for Putin.
John?
I totally agree. I think Biden will stand strong with the allies. He needs to. He knows the world spotlight is on him right now. And at the moment, Biden seems to have a fairly good hand that he can play. So I think he'll be strong. I think it'll come out okay.
Cybersecurity, right, especially, is going to be a big topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be. Because
it's all these Russian hacking groups that have been responsible for the pipeline and now probably Cox Radio Group. I'm sure those are Russians behind them, too, behind that hack, I'm sure.
So imagine if somebody did that to what we do here, to how we produce our programs, distribution, et cetera. These radio stations are off the air. It's not just that you know, they can't. They're off the
air. I think they must be working with the FBI because they haven't said anything. And we found out, you know, that the FBI had been working with Colonial Pipeline, and that's how they were able to retrieve most of
the
Bitcoin. So I have a feeling that maybe the reason they're silent is because they're actually working behind the scenes with some, you know, cybersecurity agencies.
I hope so. Yeah. All right, John Harper, Victoria Keith, and Jennifer Horn here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, 9:15. All right, John Harper is here, Victoria Keelan, Doug Steffen on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Michael Harrison is running the convention here at Hofstra University. So we have John and Victoria with us for this hour. And if I were to spend a little less time on politics, I guess we could short shrift Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, Joe Manchin, and Joe Biden. We'd have Tony Fauci left on the list. I think the Joe Manchin thing is worth mentioning this week. John, what do you think? And his attempt to sort of kind of control the Democratic Party. He's come out of nowhere. I didn't know much about the guy before. Did you?
I did not either, Doug. And he has come out in wanting to try and control the party. Looks like at the moment he may be controlling the
card. He's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yep. It's all coming down to him.
It sure seems that way, yeah.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Victoria, where is he from? What state? I've forgotten what state.
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's often in the headlines and has been for at least the last 5 or 6 years that I've, you know, kind of been following more closely. But he and the I'm blanking on her name, John, you probably know, from Maine. Is it Susan Collins?
Yes. Right. Republican.
Yeah, so the two of them are kind of known as the swing voters, and so sometimes Susan will kind of swing to the left, and Joe swings to the right more often than not. And so, yeah, he's in a very interesting position right now. This is definitely the highest profile position he's ever been in.
Yeah, he's having some impact for sure. Up next, our focus on Dr. Tony Fauci and where he and all of that stuff surrounding him is at 21 after the hour. This is the Talk Radio Countdown.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
23 after the hour, the Talk Radio Countdown Show without Michael Harrison. I'm Doug Steffen. This week, we've had Jennifer's input. Victoria Keelan here from the DJV program. John Harper from WMEL down the Space Coast. I said we'd talk about Dr. Fauci next. There's lots to say about him. And not much of it anymore is any good. So, Victoria, you want to lead off with what seems to have befallen Dr. Fauci this week in terms of credibility or the lack thereof, controversy?
Well, I don't think you can take away his entire career. I mean, I think that that's an overstatement.
That's not fair.
Yeah, and he has not resigned.
Did I say that?
I think that it's very easy. You know, this is. I don't know. I just feel like the attacks.
It's easy to jump on the bandwagon.
And it's become a talking point on the right. It's just everything. Blame everything on him. It's just, you know, the 3,500
emails. But he has done
emails,
some things. I know, but he has.
There
done
are some things,
things that
I agree. There are things that there are things that require clarification. And so I hope that he is given a platform to clarify. I hope that. A lot of the stuff with the emails, it's like the Hillary emails all over again. It's like, this is the, you know, Fauci's emails are the new emails. It's like, we can't get away from this. You know, and in the emails, it showed that he, at the time, which obviously something changed, but at the time during these emails, he was reluctant to kind of become the face of, you know, of the COVID task force. That obviously changed because, you know, he shows up the opening of an envelope at this point. So I'm not sure, you know, in the beginning, he was kind of, you know, a little hesitant. But, you know, there's questions about funding to that lab in Wuhan that really needs solid answers because that's for everybody. That's not for people in left, right. That's for everyone. Everyone needs to know what really went down. We need full transparency. We're never going to get the Chinese to ever admit that anything other than bats, which is so ludicrous at this point. I think everyone can agree on that. But, you know, people weren't eating bats and they weren't being bitten by bats. That's not how this virus spread. So there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and he's had a very long career. He's 80 years old. A lot of people are pushing for him to retire. You know, I don't really
How
like,
do you think he became
the leader?
I don't
like saying that because I think that's ageist. So,
it
and
is.
I know, Doug,
Thank you
don't like that at all.
I don't like that at all. No.
Yeah.
I don't
neither
either.
Does John.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Right. With good reason on all of our parts. But, you know, let's talk about leadership. And what it takes to be a good leader. And maybe that applies to Fauci. Maybe it applies to Biden. Maybe it applies to Manchin. I mean, all the people on the people list consider themselves leaders. But, you know, what does it take to be? Has Fauci over the years been a good leader? He survived. He's been there a long time. Does that mean he was a good leader? And I guess that's, you know, kind of the definition of what a good leader.
I mean, let's be honest, whoever had heard of him before this, right? I mean, during the AIDS crisis.
A year ago, we couldn't pronounce his name correctly.
Right.
You know, and he was just Dr. Tony to everybody. But at the same time, guys, I think he has presented over the past year a clear plan of action. And you said, Doug, what is a leader made of? And that's someone who can present a plan that people can buy into, understand clearly. There have been bumps in this COVID road. But at the same time, I think maybe Dr. Tony was the right person at the right time, because when you look at some of the other people that were on his team, I think they were very weak.
Then it fell to him to be the leader.
It did.
And
Trump didn't want to talk about it. Trump admitted that he downplayed the numbers. He admitted he didn't want to really talk about it because he was too afraid of what it would do to his economy. So, you know, we had to have somebody be the face and voice of reason, and it was not coming from the White House.
Well, is it still the question, who's the voice of reason now as this thing continues to play out? Good question. We can continue to talk about this on the other side of our bottom of the hour break here. It's 28 after the hour.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
34 after the hour now. The Talk Radio Countdown Show, a part of the DJV program, our connection to Talkers Magazine. You can find these lists, the stories, and the people both at djvshow.com and at talkers.com. This week, the Talkers Convention here at Hofstra University. That's where I'm doing my part of the program from. What great studios, facilities, great people, a lot of help. I feel blessed to be here. It's nice to be around the kids who are the future of radio. You know how that works? The old guys like us, John. Pretty soon, they're going to be putting us on a boat, putting us out to sea. Somebody, you know that guy that cuts holes in boats and puts it back together again with that plastic stuff? And somebody will forget to put the plastic stuff on our boat, and it'll sink. In the meantime...
As Paul Harvey used to say, hang up the microphone, right? Pack the microphone away.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the whole business. Every week seems to be a part of the conversation, the police and reorganizing... the infrastructure, not just infrastructure, the buildings and the roads and stuff, but I believe that the police, school departments, Department of Public Utilities, and every community and around the country is part of the infrastructure. So when this dramatic video shows up, which sort of rehashes what happened in Arkansas last year, the state trooper runs a woman off the road who's pregnant, and the outrage that surrounds it. Some of it is manufactured outrage that comes from the news media. But when most people look at this and they
watch this video, I don't know anybody who wouldn't be outraged. You know,
in terms of how that stuff sometimes plays out. But in this particular instance, it is so outrageous. Does this guy even have?
He's still working.
He never should have been.
So let's just tell the story really quick. So a girl named Nicole Harper, was driving. She was doing 84 in a 70, and so she got pulled. So a cop clocked her. She got he had his dash cam on the whole time, which is why this has gone viral. And so as soon as he puts his lights on, she immediately puts her right turn signal on and moves over to the right lane, slows down dramatically. This is all on video. It's very clear. So she slows down dramatically. Then she puts her hazard lights on and she's kind of coasting along in the right lane. But the shoulder is very narrow on this three-lane highway that she's on. So I guess it wasn't enough. I guess she didn't pull over fast enough for him. It was 127 seconds it was clocked at. And so he goes up and bumps her car, which I guess is like a police maneuver. He bumps the tail of her car, causing it to start to spin around. It spins around, crosses three lanes, which is incredibly dangerous because other cars were there too. So she crosses three lanes and flips over and is left hanging upside down, pregnant, in this car. The cop goes up to her. And basically just says, why didn't you stop? And she goes, because I didn't think it was safe. I was looking for the exit, which was less than a mile away from where he flipped her over. And so, and he's arguing with her, all you had to do was slow down and stop. And she said, I did slow down. I thought I was doing all the right things. I was waiting for the a safe exit. And so now it's a big lawsuit. And, she, you know, luckily the baby was okay. But the, to watch what this guy did, no regard for her, her life. He didn't know who was in the car. And she said, what if my other toddler was in the car? The kid could have been killed. It's just, it was so irresponsible. And watching it made me furious, to be honest. It was just infuriating.
All right, John, what's your take on it?
Well, I think everybody in the country that has seen this video has that same feeling as well. And I think the woman did everything that she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And thinking that the police were going to cooperate with her as well as she was trying to do with them. And how this got so out of control, how the police in so many examples across the country that we have seen over the past couple of years, how they can do the irresponsible things to citizens is beyond me, and that's why we've had such cases in the news that have dramatically changed, I think, the way we respond to police, the way police are responding to citizens, and changing relations, race relations, black, white, whatever. It's truly amazing, and I don't know where this stops. It's just out of control. Just when you think you've seen enough, then along comes a video like
more.
This one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, there are so many things he could have done. He could have just ridden right next to her. He, you know, I mean, he was clearly, she was not trying to flee. She wasn't trying to get away from him. There were so many other things he could have done. And it just, you know, he endangered her life, the life of her baby. It just, it's, and
the
other people on the road. Oh, he had no repercussions. He was never put on administrative leave. He was not fined. There was nothing. And that's infuriating.
Hard to believe.
Yep.
Hard to believe.
Outrage.
Yeah.
Outrage in this circumstance. Sometimes we have false outrage, and I don't mean that necessarily just here, but we have tended to go down the road of false outrage. There's nothing false about this. It really is pretty outrageous. All right, speaking of that, John, you're in Florida at WMEL. There's the whole business of violence. You know, we've gotten to accept it way more than we should. Three people are dead at a Florida supermarket. What's that story?
Well, that story, among so many others, Doug, that are coming out of here in the state of Florida. Again, truly amazing what's going on. Last weekend, or over Memorial Day weekend, we had that shooting in Miami at a birthday party in which several people were killed and many others were injured. We just had yesterday the Pulse nightclub in Orlando has been put up for a national historical site as a remembrance of what happened there 5 years ago when 50 people were killed there. And it just goes on and on here in the state of Florida and throughout the country. And I think in some respects, people are becoming numb to
yes.
to all of this shooting.
Yep.
And it's just,
yep.
you know, it's just another day. Here we go. Another
yep.
person going postal or whatever.
Yep.
And it's getting old. It really is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this stuff is getting old. One of the things, let me go back to the economy here, which is number six on the story list this week. I don't know that there's a person attached to it on the people list, but I'm looking at the migration of people from city to the suburbs, suburbs to rural America. The trend is renting. When you move to the suburbs, many homes now, instead of being sold because the value is there, are being rented because a lot of people don't have the money for a down payment. Victoria, we talk about this all the time. My two children both live in rented houses in Los Angeles. They don't have the money for a down payment. And they're in their 40s. It's getting to the point where people, used to be the old dream was to buy a house as quickly as you could and
yeah.
live in it. That's
yeah.
where you're
my mom owned two different houses, and one was a rental property by the time she was like late 20s. So
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like that was the boomer generation. You guys all had houses as soon as you were 23 years
old. I bought a house. I owned my first house at 23.
There you go. See, and that's it's crazy now because I don't know anybody in my group, my generation, who did that or was able to do that unless a parent bought a house for them.
John, how old were you when you owned your first house? How old were you when you owned your first house?
I was 25 and bought my first house in a suburb of Detroit. And my interest rate back in those days, I think, was 22%.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was the...
Yeah. Wow.
It was pretty crazy back
then. You believe that? You remember that, Doug? Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. My first house wasn't... The interest rate wasn't that high, but it certainly wasn't what we've seen here in the last 10, 12 years.
Well, the price of houses, too. You know, you hear, like, the house I grew up in, my grandparents bought it as a weekend, like a summer home, and they bought it for $75,000. It had 8 bedrooms. Like, it was amazing to me when back then everything was just so much cheaper. And now, you know, especially with the housing prices right now being so high, a friend of mine lives in a cute little suburban neighborhood right near where I am on the Jersey Shore, and the tiniest house that's on her block just sold for $950.
I had a meeting.
Yes.
The Business Association in Framingham, where I live, I'm a member of it. We had a meeting the other day, and one of the real estate people was talking about her. She was actually negotiating with a buyer on the phone. They had 4 buyers, and the house, I think it was on the market, was $650. At that point, they were already up to $695 and still taking bids.
Yeah.
$45,000 over asking price, and they're still at it. So it's just, it is. It's kind of a nutty.
It's
reality.
The problem, though, that it's just, where do you go? It's great if you can sell your house and make a huge profit, but as long as you have someplace else to
someplace
go, because
to go.
You don't want to buy in at this point, you know, because you're not going to really make a profit that way. So yeah, it's tough.
On the people list this week from Talkers Magazine at number 10, Benjamin Netanyahu. Ms. Omar, the congressperson, number 9. Bad Vlad, number 8. Most people know when I say Bad Vlad, they know I'm talking about Putin, right? If I say Bukin Putin, yeah, they get it. Kevin McCarthy is number 7 on the list. A lot of politicians, as usual, on our list. Mitch McConnell occupies the number 6 spot. Vice President Harris, number 5. Former President Trump, number 4. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, interesting character, who sort of has come out of nowhere. He's at number 3 this week because of the work that he's doing on this filibuster legislation. Dr. Fauci is number 2. To believe him or not to believe him, I guess that is the question. And President Joe Biden is number 1 on the people list. So it's always pretty political. We know that because most of the stuff that's on News Talk Radio is political. So that's the story. Strong finish here. I'm Doug Steffen. 44 past the hour on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. On the story list from Talkers Magazine, the charts for the week of June 7th to the 11th, I'm Doug Steffen at number 10. Focus on the weather in the West, the drought, the fires, all the things that have started already. Number 9, race relations and the over-the-top focus on what we have to do to make it good, make it right. I put that in quotation marks. The ransomware attacks, legality and how we're going to deal with that. Is Joe Biden going to put Putin in his place? That's number 8. Social media at number 7. The bias is there. The economy is number 6. The election fraud claims. Can you believe it? That's number 5 this week on the countdown. China and our relationship, number 4. The January 6th investigations, number 3. The filibuster legislation, voting rights, etc., number 2. And COVID-19, the vaccines. And did it come from the Wuhan laboratory? That's the question. And those are the stories. I'm Doug Steffen. All right, a couple more minutes here of our Talk Radio Countdown Show. Thanks to Victoria Keelan and John Harper being here with me and earlier on Jennifer Horn, because Michael Harrison is running the annual convention for Talkers Magazine here at Hofstra University, which, by the way, those of you listening who are contemplating where to send your children or children that are looking for a good place to go, this is a great university on the, on the banks of Long Island Sound, but it really isn't. It's on Long Island, but it's a long way from the water. But it's a neat place. It's kind of a warm, friendly place, and that's what we would like to have more of, frankly. You know, we're talking about COVID. One of the ancillary things going on here, I guess we could put COVID and the economy together for a few seconds. The RV makers, I have $14 billion in backlog orders. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
That's
everybody wanted an RV last year.
Yeah. Well, this year too, but they can't get them because of the same thing with cars. The chips and all that other stuff. But boy, are these things are all over the road. And people, the danger here is that people don't know how to drive them. And that really is, I think that's one of the things that people are, down in Florida where you are, John, the people that, they don't know how to drive down there, period. Never mind an RV.
Well,
and
you're right, Doug. Yeah, let alone an RV. I-95, right. You take your life in your hands.
Ah, life in your hands. All right. Yeah, time's up. John, thank you for being here. Good to have you on
again.
You're
welcome.
Victoria, have a great weekend. Thank you very much. It's 10 before the hour.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Talk Radio Countdown Show now continuing with Stephen J.J. Wiseman, college professor at Bentley. He has expertise in the law that brings him around to our focus here because I like getting his input on some of the stories that come from Talkers Magazine every week. The filibuster legislation, number two this week. Where does that go and what basis in, legal pro forma, how do you do something like this and get it to work?
Yeah, I'm not very hopeful about it. The whole idea of a filibuster has been used throughout American history, really to thwart actions of a majority in Congress. And it always seems like there's never enough votes to get it through, and I don't think they're going to have enough votes here. And it really is it's a shame. It's a shame that we have such a divide between the parties, although there is some talk of a bipartisan agreement on the infrastructure package. But, quite frankly, these arcane rules that the Senate in particular and the House of Representatives operate under and the resistance of the parties to change that and give up power is very disturbing. And just like looking at the Electoral College, which I think is the biggest anachronism, I just don't see any realistic possibilities.
Awful. Yeah. And they do it at their own risk. Too, it would seem to me that people, although the way things are going, people are less informed, less knowledgeable when it comes to having all of this stuff put together and people understanding it. I mean, you saw the big thing this week about the race theories and how many people are being convinced in schools that this is the way to think rather than how to think. This thing is getting way over the top. I made a note to myself on the list here. It's over the top.
Well, you hit on really one of the essential questions, and that is I do think democracy here and in countries around the world is very much in jeopardy because of media. There is so much misinformation on media, and people are confused even when they get information. They don't know what they can trust. They stick only to avenues that they think are going to be accurate, and God bless them, the people who are looking for truth on social media,
and that
really endangers democracy.
So, but people aren't being taught, that's back to the being taught how to think rather than what to think and what's going on in the schools, the amount of time that's spent on social media using that as part of what goes on in the regular rigors of a classroom.
I agree with you. I do think our educational system needs an overhaul.
It's
interesting
overhaul.
Too. They had it after Sputnik when we were so behind in science and math.
Yeah.
We are again, and frankly, we need to teach a new generation, like you say, how to think, how to evaluate, and how to live in a society when they are bombarded with so much misinformation. And I think the educational system is the place we need to focus on.
All right, number six in part, the immigration reform packages. The lack of, I don't even know what's going on. If you, and I'm pretty astute, pretty connected to what is happening in the world for obvious reasons. I can't tell you that I even understand what's going on the border. Do you? Can you?
No, I was going to say join the club. You know, right now there isn't any cohesive program that is being proposed, and if it is being proposed, it certainly is not being communicated to the public. And then you have things, you know, the wall, which I thought was a debacle, and I think President Biden was correct not to go through with that. And now you have the governor of Texas saying, well, they're going to put up a wall. Immigration is important on a lot of levels. And closing your eyes to the situation by not dealing with it, which is something that Congress has been doing for years and years, makes absolutely no sense and makes the situation worse. You know, we do need immigration on a lot of levels, including, you know, to support our economy. Not,
yeah.
And also
organized.
Issues. But
illegal.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You see number five. This week on the people list is Vice President Harris and her kind of botched approach to that. And nobody seemed to be able to understand if anything was even done on that trip.
It was kind of disappointing. It didn't seem to be very well planned out.
No, not at all. All right. Good to have you here, Steve. Stephen J.J. Wiseman here with Doug Steffen, looking at the legal side of some of the stories this week on The Countdown.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Steffen Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.